Well, one of my favorite stories is about the young Catholic woman who's dating a young Protestant boy, and she doesn't want to marry him until he becomes Catholic, so she says to her mom, "Mom, start praying for my boyfriend. Maybe he'll convert." And so the mom says, "You will start praying." So the mom prays the rosary every day, faithfully. A month goes by, and the daughter says, "Mom, it's working. He's going to Mass with me every Sunday." And the mom says, "Good, we got him on the ropes now. We'll keep praying. And so I'm going to get your dad to start praying the rosary too." So the husband starts praying the rosary every day. Another month goes by. The daughter says, "Things are really beginning to look like it's going to work out. He began RCIA classes this past month." Oh, the mother says, "Good, we're going to pour on the prayers now. I'll keep praying. Your father will keep praying. We'll even get the nuns to pray over at the convent." Well, a week goes by, and the daughter says, "Mom, stop praying. Tell dad to stop praying. Tell the nuns to stop praying." And the mom says, "What's wrong?" And the daughter says, "He now wants to become a priest." Well, in today's gospel, we have a similar story of somebody who's willing to give up everything for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Today, Jesus gives us three more parables. The last couple weeks, we've been going through the parables of the kingdom of God, the parables of the kingdom of heaven. And as I mentioned, a parable is an earthly image that teaches us a heavenly truth. So today, Jesus uses three things: a treasure buried in a field, a pearl of great price, and a fishing net with lots of fish to give us teachings about the kingdom of heaven. Now, as I mentioned, the kingdom of heaven sometimes refers to eternal bliss, the beatific vision. Sometimes the kingdom of heaven refers to the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is the church. So when we take a look at these three parables, we see the first one, again, a very interesting parable. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and then hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. See, this was not an uncommon thing in those days. People didn't put their money in banks like we do today. People often kept their valuable possessions. If they had some diamonds or jewels or precious metals, they would keep that in a little treasure box. And where could they keep it? Sometimes people would just bury it out in the backyard in their field, especially if they heard that an invader was coming, maybe an army was coming to attack that village. They would quickly bury their treasure box and then hope to come back later. Now, sometimes that person got killed and that treasure chest could be in the ground for 50 years, 100 years, and maybe 100 years later, somebody, a manual laborer or day laborer, is out there plowing the field for somebody else, and he hits this treasure chest. He comes across it, and that's why he then buries it again, the Bible says, and he goes off and he sells everything he has and uses that money to buy the field. That way he can rightly possess that treasure chest. So Jesus is saying, when you discover Christ, you're willing to give up everything to follow him, to follow Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like that treasure. You have to be willing to give up everything to follow the Lord, to be able to get to heaven, to be with the Lord for all eternity. And it requires sacrifice to get this buried treasure from the field. This man had to sell everything to get enough money to buy that treasure. I think of all of the close to 1,000 Protestant ministers that have become Catholic in the last 20 years. They've made great sacrifices to embrace the Catholic faith, to become Catholic. Many of them have lost their friends. Many of their families have disowned them. They've lost their jobs teaching at seminaries or certain colleges. But they do it in order to get that buried treasure. And they are so joyful to become Catholic, to enter the church. Now, the second parable is about a merchant searching for fine pearls. What's unique about this is that in the first parable, the person discovers the buried treasure by accident, whereas in this parable, he's searching on purpose. He's searching for fine pearls. He spends his whole life going all over the world searching for the finest pearls. And he finally finds it, the pearl of great price. And it says he goes and sells all that he has to buy that one pearl. See, that pearl is heaven. That pearl is eternal life. It's being with God for all eternity. So you have to be willing to sacrifice everything in order to get to heaven, to have that pearl of great price. And again, people have sacrificed so much in their life to become part of the church, to accept Christ. In the early church, if somebody accepted Christ, sometimes they would be killed and would even give the ultimate sacrifice of their lives as martyrs for their faith in Christ, becoming a Christian, becoming a member of the church. This has happened under communism, under the Nazis, in recent years of people that have been turned over to governments because they've become Christian, because they're followers of Christ. They're willing to sell everything, give up everything for that pearl of great price, which is their faith in Christ and their desire for eternal life. Then the last parable is a little bit different. This is certainly referring to the church on earth, because Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, the church, is like a net thrown into the sea, and this net collects every kind of fish. It collects the good fish and the bad fish, you know, the trout and the bass, but also the scorpion fish and catfish and all sorts of different kinds of fish. Some of the fish are edible, some are poisonous. It says they haul it ashore, and then they sit down and they sort out the good from the bad. And then Jesus says, just like last week, thus will it be at the end of the age. The angels will go out to separate the wicked from the righteous and throw the wicked into the fiery furnace, which of course is the image for hell, where there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth. I mentioned that last week, of how it's an expression for total despair and desolation and separation from God. Whereas the good will enter into heaven. So again, the church will have both saints and sinners. It will have both the good and the bad, the holy and the wicked. And the Lord has that until the second coming of Christ. There's always going to be the good and the bad. When we look at the church as a whole, we know that the church is the bride of Christ. The church is perfect. It's the unblemished bride of Christ from its divine nature. But sadly, the church is also human, and the church has human members of it. And because of that, the church can be in need of, and always in need of, reform and renewal. So is the church perfect and holy? Yes. The divine part of the church is perfect and holy, but the human part of the church is not, because it's made up of men and women who are sinful and is always in need of conversion and healing and renewal and reformation. So Jesus says that this will happen until the end of the age. But at the end of the age, then the angels will separate the good from the bad. Until then, there will be both good and bad living in the world and living in the church until the second coming of Christ. So these are the analogies that the Lord gives us today, that the church is a treasure. The church is a pearl of great price. We should always remember that. When we open up this treasure chest of the church, what we see are these great diamonds and jewels, such as the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament. That's our greatest treasure, having Jesus truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. That's why so many people become Catholic, to be able to receive Jesus every day, every Sunday at Mass. Another great treasure of the church is confession, being able to have our sins washed away and forgiven in this beautiful sacrament of God's mercy. Then another treasure is the anointing of the sick, to be able to be anointed, to receive the last rites, to get our souls prepared to meet God in heaven. Another treasure is Mary and the saints. The saints are our friends in high places that pray for us and intercede for us. Another treasure is the beautiful teachings of the church, the moral teachings of the church on the dignity of marriage between man and woman, the dignity of the family, the pro-life issues, the respect for all human life from the moment of conception until natural death. See, these are all these diamonds within the treasure chest of the church. So we're truly blessed to have this treasure. We just have to open it to take a look at the treasures of our church. The reason why people drift away from the church or leave the church is because they never understood the treasures that were there to begin with. The Holy Bible, the sacraments, the seven sacraments, Mary, the saints, all these wonderful things that we have. So the church, despite the fact that it has the good and the bad in it, it really is this beautiful treasure that we have. It is that pearl of great price that we need to give everything in order to possess it and look forward to one day being in heaven for all eternity to see God face to face. And that's when the fullness of God's life will be given to us in the beatific vision, when you get to see God face to face and truly possess Jesus, who is that pearl of great price.